Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a dark and unfortunately rainy Vancouver morning, but my day is about to be brightened by a conversation with Marjolein Versteeg. She's a PhD candidate at Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands, and she and her colleagues have a paper coming out in the March 2020 issue of Medical Education entitled Conceptualizing Space Learning in Health Professionals Education, a Scoping Review. Marjolein, this is almost cruel and unusual punishment, it seems, given that you've just spent 2 weeks away and are coming back to work just in time to do this. So I appreciate you making the time.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to talk about the paper. So thank you for inviting me.
Welcome back from vacation, and I'm eager to see how you've put the lessons from this paper into practice, given that by virtue of being away, you're really largely engaging in space learning. But many of our listeners won't even know what that phrase implies from the title alone. So can I start with the simplest thing of asking you to give us a sense of what you considered space learning to be when you embarked upon this project?
Yes, of course. So space learning actually means that you provide several learning sessions that you would distribute over time to actually make sure that somebody learns something and that somebody actually remembers the information that is being learned. So typically, or I could maybe give an example for that matter,
please,
is that you could have simulation training just on one day for 4 consecutive hours, and that will be called mass learning. But you can also have this simulation training 1 hour each day of the week, and then you would have your training session space, basically, and you can call it space learning because you put breaks in between the learning sessions and you're going to repeat the information over time. You can do that with training, but you can also do that with teaching sessions, and you could also do that with your own learning, of course. So that's what space learning is, and we investigated that form of learning in health professions education and how it is defined and how it is applied.
And I would go out on a limb, or maybe I'm misinferring just because of my own psychology background, but to me this seems like one of those learning strategies that has become most well accepted in terms of it having some educational benefit. Given the way people typically talk about it as an effective strategy, why were you concerned that perhaps the definitions weren't clear, that a scoping review of this sort was required?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, because we started off by thinking that space learning actually is a very proven and robust strategy being used for almost 100 years in psychology already, so that it would already be used probably in medical education as well, and that would probably be effective. So we were looking for a way how we could implement space learning in our own teaching and our own curriculum. But then we dove into the literature and we searched for the term space learning, and we found so many different ways of implementing space learning in your everyday teaching or in your everyday learning, and there were also so many different synonyms for space learning that were used that we kind of lost our way. And that was the moment where we thought, okay, wait, let's not first do that space learning experiment that we were planning on doing, but let's first take a step back and see what is out there. So what kind of studies are already being performed in medical education or in health professions education, and what kind of definitions are applied? Because apparently everybody is pretending to do space learning, but maybe doing something else. Or maybe they mean the same, but they use different terms for doing that. So we wanted to create some order in that sense.
Right. Okay. That's helpful. And so you mentioned the databases you went into, and that gives me the opportunity to ask a little bit more about methodology. You've labeled this a scoping review as opposed to a systematic or some other type of review. What was it that led you to that particular methodology in terms of the advantages over other options?
Well, we wanted to attempt to do sort of a systematic review and also critically appraise the articles in terms of their quality. But because the information on space learning and health professions education is so diverse in terms of applications, but also in terms of definitions, because they were so diffuse and so different, we were not able to do it. So we felt we first had to map everything that was out there, so actually scope, to make sure that we have a nice overview of how space learning is defined and applied before we can actually move on to critically appraise those articles and actually compare them. Because what we saw is that space learning has over 20 different synonyms, and its applications vary so widely that it's difficult to compare it in terms of a systematic review. So it was really for us an opportunity to make sure that we could create a very nice overview also for other researchers in the community, or maybe also for teachers that want to apply space learning, to see how could you do that and how would you frame it and how would you define it, so to say.
Can you give us a few examples of synonyms that people typically use, just for those who might actually be more familiar with those synonyms and would be helped by the connection?
Yes. In the paper is a nice table who sums up all the synonyms. But for example, people would say space testing, which also refers to the testing effect, which also derived from the spacing effect. So that already becomes kind of confusing in a theoretical sense. But people also talk about retrieval testing. People use words like memory enhancement or more in that kind of way. So the word spacing is used in very different ways, but also the word learning is used in very different ways.
Thank you. That's, again, helpful. And even chronologically, it's interesting. This, as you said, has been around psychology for a century or so, but it really has taken off in health professional education in the last decade. Any particular things that surprised you in that regard, in terms of how the translation is being made?
Yeah, well, to us it was also very surprising that this effect is around for, well, 100 years already. And what we found is that over 90% of the articles in health professions education have been published only in the last 10 years, which to me was really interesting, but also I think a very good sign that we've picked up on this and that we want to develop this in our curricula. And I think what we found is that the researchers and teachers in health professions education are really innovative, and they're the early adapters. They're finding their ways in implementing space learning very creatively. So, for example, we found that a lot of people would implement space learning in online settings, which is, of course, also related to the digital age that we're in. But it's a very effective, well, a way of making online learning more effective, so to say. So that was really interesting to see that those early adapters come up with so many different ways of implementing this space learning technique in their teaching or training or learning.
So I'm going to suggest that we leave the details of the variety of interventions that you discovered in the literature for people to read about in the paper, but want to ask you more about, having gone through this exercise and tried to grapple with what meaning was present in that variety, what definition do you now feel most comfortable with in terms of trying to specify what is space learning?
Yes, I find that a very interesting and also difficult question to answer, because I think there's not one definition that could cover all those variations of space learning that are being applied in education nowadays. So actually what we did in the paper is we came up with a sort of flexible definition. The nice thing is, I think that in this definition are elements that are derived from our qualitative analysis that we laid on the studies that we found. So all the studies that are out there that talk about space learning and health professions education, or any synonym for that matter, they propose definitions, and we basically took all these definitions and we searched for overlapping or related terms, so to say, to see what we as a community actually mean by space learning. So based on that, we built a flexible definition that has these elements for researchers to use, so they can specify the elements for their own research, and that would help not only the researchers themselves, but also the community in, well, understanding what a researcher is actually meaning by space learning. So, for example, one of the terms that we found in our qualitative analysis is that space learning is about educational encounters. And you can specify that in many different ways. So it can be a learning sessions, it can be teaching sessions, it can be training sessions. But for a researcher to actually grasp your study and to know what you did and to maybe follow up on that, you want to know what kind of educational encounters there were. So you really have to specify it. And it also accounts for the material that you use or the number of spaces you use or interstudy interval, etc. So we put all these elements in our definition and we made it flexible so a researcher can specify by him or herself what kind of material or interstudy intervals or educational encounters he or she actually used.
So you're really laying out a map for what elements need to be specified for those who are intending to use spaced learning as an intervention, which brings us full circle back to where we started in terms of what motivated this project on your part. You're going to engage in some sort of spaced education intervention. Having done that, what's your perspective on how to use spaced learning most effectively?
Well, that's interesting because we're experimenting with it right now. What we see in the literature is that spaced learning is mostly implemented in online settings, and it seems to be very effective. We actually didn't do the systematic analysis, but from the papers alone, you can see that spaced learning actually really helps to enhance knowledge retention in the online learning settings. You can also see that it's implemented in simulation trainings, but I think the actual teaching sessions, like the classroom sessions, are still a bit overlooked. So in our experiments right now, we're trying to see if spaced learning can also enhance knowledge retention in those traditional types of teaching, because they're still very frequently used all around the world. So you could think of actually spacing a lecture, 45 minutes or 60 minute lecture could be spaced by putting breaks in between and making sure that the teacher is actually repeating the material within the lecture. And that could maybe be an effective way of enhancing knowledge retention for students when they attend your lectures.
Great thoughts and satisfying all at the same time that the answer is always wait and see. This is certainly leading us an interesting and important direction. And as I said, again, just getting some clarity around what we mean and laying out the elements in terms of being able to think more carefully and deliberately about what we're doing. Sounds like a tremendous path that you're taking us along. So I will patiently wait to see how those studies turn out. But I will just finish then, as always, by reminding our listeners that the paper we've been discussing can be found in Medical Education, specifically in the March 2020 issue, titled Conceptualizing Spaced Learning in Health Professions Education, a Scoping Review. And the voice you've been hearing other than mine is the first author on that work, Marjolein Verstech. I want to thank you for this effort at clarifying this concept and look forward to hearing how your PhD studies evolve.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity.